Today, I'm going to talk with you. As you look around, over half the people have left and are not going to come back. And that's the reality. This has happened to us in the past several times. And so what I have to do, and I ask God to help me to able to understand not what to say, help me to understand why. In my thoughts, there was a small group in another area. And the person who is responsible for it had called me up several months ago. And the burden was so great. And this person kept asking for advice. After several telephone calls, several not chastisement, talking, explaining what God is doing. And when I told this person that God is now going to put the test upon your group, and when he is finished, you will have a great loss. And when I said that to that person, I knew God was telling me then and there, it's going to happen to Hell Fellowship. There's going to be a great loss. It's like God let me know in advance, yeah, I'm going to give you this person, let them know what the burden is, and you're going to give them the answer, and you're going to hear my answer. And so that was transpired. Now I look back and I say, okay, God, why is it this way? How did it happen? Or, as we would say, the devil did it. No, it is God has the power. The devil has no power. Spirit of the devil is weak, is feeble, is worthless. It has no energy, it has nothing. It can do nothing unless the authority that is God grants him that authority. We believe that to a degree, but sometimes we think the devils or the demons or the spirits of this world are overwhelming us when it's not. God said, I will protect you. Why has he not? Then we have to look. We have to say, okay, where is the picture? What is it that God has? The last 2 weeks, I have been in extremely deep meditation, asking God over and over, okay, now, I have sought to know you. I've sought your wisdom. I've sought your understanding. And there's still something definitely missing inside of me. And I'm trying to figure out. And as these weeks go by, I knew last Tuesday what God was upset with me personally about. This is a serious talk, and I just want to share this with you. As you know, sometime in June, a situation arose. And privately, they tried to sit and talk with one another to get the thing finished. And of course, that never transpired. One who was upset refused to talk. It does not matter. Because what matters right now is what is it that God wants us to see as a group, to understand as a group, to accept from Him what He wants us to do. I want to read a section. Before I came here today, I looked up the word judge in the Tanakh. Sometimes the word is for a judge to judge rightly. And it says, you will judge rightly. There is no advantage. No one will have an advantage over you. And the other points of judge is when the judge is wrong. What do you do when the judge is wrong? I myself was very, very upset with an individual. Who spoke badly of someone very dear to me. And I had a hard time ignoring it. People can talk bad about me, I don't have a problem with that one. And so, today I got my answer. I didn't get it last week, I got it today. Sometimes me as a man, I expect an awful lot of things out of men. And sometimes, that's not right. Because that's leaning into my own understanding, not God's. So today, I want to read something very unusually in an odd location. And it seems like there are words or phrases or one-liners put in there that doesn't associate with anything else within the text. But it's not true. It's all connected. You have heard, judge not that you be judged. Now what is judge? When you criticize somebody, find fault with somebody, see their weaknesses, and blab about it, and play upon their weakness, that is judgment. And the Messiah said, the very same yardstick that you have measured against that person, I'll use against you. Because I am weak. My spirit is poor. If I don't have the wealth of the Spirit of God in me, I will starve to death spiritually. He said something. This is Matthew, the 7th chapter. I want you to turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Why do you look at their faults? Why do you look at their inadequacy? Why do you look at their weakness? Why do you look at their not doing what God wants them to do according to our understanding? Not according to God. These are hard words in the 7th chapter. They're stinging words. He opened up this chapter of judging. The whole chapter is on the same exact identical subject matter, all the way through. And he said, you have a big, huge plank in your eye. So I asked God, where is my plank? I can't see my plank. Show me my plank. You know why I couldn't see my plank? And my plank was hiding the truth. And that's the subject matter. What is true? What is truth? What is upright? What is decent? What is holy? What is just? What is the blank in my eye? He said, when you remove that, he didn't say when I remove it. When you remove it, then you will see. You will see how you can help a person with a speck in their eye and not judge them. Then he goes on, he says something very unusual. Verse 6, notice this. What on earth does it have to do with getting the plank out of my eye? Does that say anything to do with judgment? Why is it there? Do not give what is holy. That's a Greek, old Greek word, the dead language. It's closely related to being restricted from going to place. Turning around is you're restricted to going into the place that is clean or holy or pure. Like the Holy of Holies. And to the dogs. That's a hard word. What that really refers to is a someone who is impure mind. And to cast your pearls to the swine, what's going to happen if I do that which is pure and holy and to someone? They're going to destroy me. So I got to remove the plank. If I don't remove the plank, I am going to be destroyed. I can be a righteous preacher, but my plank is there. I can be destroyed. Because he's not talking to people who are not aware of God. He's talking to people who are very much aware, his disciples. And to the other people who were there. And then he turns around, uses a very unusual statement, which doesn't seem to fit. It's like it's a one-liner again. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And him who knocks, it will open. Okay, Father. I'm asking you for judgment. Because that's the subject matter of this chapter. How do I get the plank out of my eyes? Ask. How do I seek the problem of the plank? Find out. Look. Study my word. What do I do after that? Knock. And it'll open to you. And the plank will no longer be there. Do you understand what I'm saying? We as a group, as a unit, a hall of fellowship, when we as individuals or as a group, begin to look upon somebody or accuse somebody or attack somebody because they don't live up to the standards of our understanding, what's going to happen? God is going to move in. Talk to my son. And I says, you know, what is happening to a hollow fellowship, God brought upon us. And he says, yes. He knew for sure God brought it upon us. He wanted something to be finished and completed. What does he want out? Whatever yardstick we as people individually or as a group or as a one-to-one, God's going to use that very same measurement. So we as a group, we must humble ourselves before God and ask him to help us to understand the plank and ask him, show me the plank. And he will. Ask him to seek how the plank got there. You will find it. Then you ask, how do I remove it? Open up the door. My door. And the plank will not enter into my house. Just you. Let's continue here. The Messiah uses physical examples. What if someone among you and your son asks for a piece of bread, would give him a stone? Well, you say, of course not. I wouldn't do that. What am I, some kind of nut? You hypocrite. First, remove the plank. If he asked for fish, which would you give him a serpent? Well, of course not. I would never do that. Then you being bad, you know how to do things that are bad. I also know how to get good gifts. Do you know that your Father in heaven will give you good things that you ask? Ask. Seek. Knock. So, then he throws in one more liner. It has to do with judge and judge not. What does he say in this one liner that everybody knows? It's called the golden rule. The golden rule is connected to judge not. This is how you get rid of the plank. Therefore, whoever you want then to do to you, you do also to them, for there is the law and the prophets. Do I want people to see my weakness, my fears, my inadequacies, my faults? No, I don't want people to see that. What do I want people to see? A nice guy. And if in my mind, I'm going to judge somebody in my mind, or open with my mouth, behind someone's back or right in front of their face, makes no difference. If I'm going to say something to somebody, I have the same measure that's going to get against me. Oh, now it comes back on you. Now God's going to say, do you see what you did that? You judged unrighteously. You had no idea, don't know who the person is. You have no knowledge of the background of that person, nor do you know how that person is me. We will call, we'll cover it. What has happened? That was open to done so. And that never happened because the two never got together. One refused, and you could do nothing about that. I'm not talking about an individual. I'm talking about how God wants us to see what He has done to this group. It's not pleasant. It's not something to rejoice, although there is something to rejoice about. Because Apostle Paul said, the reason why there must be divisions within a group is because God is testing out who is true and who is not. That's always God doing that all the time. Book of Revelations. Remember the seven churches? Sometimes we read this. I remember when I first started reading that stuff when I was a young kid. I says, okay. Boy, that church asked for it. They need to get rid. Wait a minute. What about me? When we read it, we kind of read it with soft words. Oh, but I have somewhat against you. We're talking about the judge of the world. Thus talking about the son of the most powerful being who says, I've got something against you. Do you think he's going to ignore it? Oh. Oh, you think he's going to send the devil to get you straightened out? Ooh, what happened to Job? It worked. And we get to blame each other. We find someone didn't cheat me wrong. What does Apostle Paul say? Corinthians, take the abuse. Take the abuse.
You're saying wow. Right now that people should take abuse?
He take abuse. First Corinthians.
You're telling me that God is telling us to take abuse?
Yes.
That's really...
Well, that's written. Yeah, it's written. Where is it at? Corinthians, first chapter, verse 6. Chapter 6. Talk about taking someone and accusing and taking them to court. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. He says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law, Torah, if you wish, before an unrighteous and not before the saints. Now, what does that mean?
Or should you have to refer to Matthew 18?
Go to the 7th verse. You wanted scripture? This is it. When Matthew 17, when it doesn't work, as the Messiah said, this is the order, this procedure, and if that doesn't work, try that, and that doesn't work, then what happens? But he doesn't say, get even. Therefore, it is already utter failure for you that you go to law against another. Why do you not rather accept the wrong done to you? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated, lied about, talked bad about, being evil spoken of? Why can't you do that? Is that what? It's the close Apostle Paul, of course, his opinion, right? It's written. It's there. What are we supposed to do in exchange? If someone persecutes you, what are you supposed to do? They despitefully use you. What are you supposed to do?
Pray for them.
You He blessings upon them.
Them
you give them that which is good. Never avenge anything. For the Lord said, vengeance are mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. It's in the Romans, I believe the 12th chapter. Don't know if I got it written down here right now. I'll take a look. Yes, I do. Nope, that's Proverbs. It says here, Romans, the 12th chapter. This is the one about, you know, you being a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. This is the hard part about being a living sacrifice. And Apostle Paul addresses one of the most difficult things, to be a living sacrifice. Verse 9 talks about love without dissimulation. 10, kindly affected to one another, honoring and preferring to honor them than yourself. Verse 12, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Don't talk back. Don't find fault. What are you supposed to do? Have the same mind, verse 16, one another. Mind not the high things, but consider the men to be of low estate. The ones that are not really very smart. Verse 18, if it's altogether possible, live at peace. How do you do that? When someone has persecuted you, the natural defense mechanism sets up. It's in all of us, inside of me as well. And guess what I have to do? Purge it out. I'm no different than any other human being on the face of the earth. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Do not protect yourself. Do not retaliate. Don't give into anger, resentment, bitterness, retaliation. What are you supposed to do? He says it is written. This is a matter of what you, if you really truly believe that you are a living sacrifice before God and God only. Vengeance are mine. I will repay. Anybody has ever spoken bad about you, evil about you, wicked about you, you are not to protect yourself by words, by actions, or by deeds. You're supposed to do one thing. Bless them that persecute you. How many of you like being persecuted and you say, oh, this is the most wonderful thing ever happened to me? No, your defense system flares up. That guard goes up. That guard goes up with what? Anger. That's what goes up. Fear. It goes up. And he says, if your enemy, the one who persecutes you, is hungry, what are you supposed to do about it? Let him starve to death? If he's thirsty, what are you supposed to let him do? Die of lack of water? To get even? It's his problem. It's his judge. He made the mistake. He did this. He did that. Or she did this. She caused this. She did have that. She's the core of it. Therefore, she should have, or he should have, I'm not going to give him any food. I'm going to let him die. Because that's what this boils down to. You're supposed to heap coals of blessing upon them. Let's go back to Matthew. We are few in number now. And maybe after today, we'll be fewer. I don't know. But after Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, how you want people to judge you, to look at you, to evaluate you, to look at you, how do you want them to see you? Do the same to them. Then he mentions a very unusual statement afterwards. This all has to do with judgment. They enter in by the narrow gate. What's the narrow gate? Oh, the Torah. No, we talk about judgment. How you look on someone and you like to be retaliate, but you've got to walk through this other gate that says, I will bless them and I will not concentrate on thinking what they have done to me and in any shape, form of my life. I'm going to bless them. And a living sacrifice, guess what? Don't like to give something of a blessing to someone whom has just attacked you. These are the words of the Son of God. These are the words of our high priest. The other gate is very wide. And what happens when you do not do, as the Apostle Paul says, and the Messiah, the Son of God says, what happens to that way? The way you have judged leads to something. Destruction. You remember what he said there in the sixth verse? Don't give that which is holy unto dogs, or that which is pearls unto the swines. Why? Because they will destroy you. Is this not what it is, says? That gate is very broad and leads to destruction. He's talking about judge, how we look at one another, that we should prefer someone who is more honorable than oneself. Sometimes it's hard because in our mind and our heart and flesh and blood, we sometimes believe we're more honorable than the person next door. We're more respectful than the person next door. We're more loving than the person next door. We're more godly than the person next door. We're more holy than the person next door. We're more pure than the person next door. Do not think more highly than you ought to think. For God is the final judge. And we in our hearts, when Kippurim's coming up, we in our hearts have to know we have congregation that literally split in half. That is gone and won't come back. Now we have to look at ourselves and say, oh God, are you finished? Are you finished with us as individuals? Are you finished? Are you going to forsake us? That's what we have to ask God. Not ask one another. Ask God. Personally. And I hope. As a unit. Of Hello Fellowship. And he says it's narrow. walking the straight is very, very difficult. But it leads to something. What does it lead to? Life. And he didn't say, many are they that find it. When I have to find it, guess what I have to do? Get that plank out of my eye. If I don't, I lead the other direction, which is destruction. And I will join the crowd of destroyers and being destroyed. Then he said, beware of something. Beware of false prophets. Beware of those who are in sheep's clothing. In the prophets, God says, I will judge sheep by sheep. I will judge goat by goat. I will judge ram by ram. He's talking about people. These animals that he uses addressing is talking about human beings, a picture of human beings. I will separate the sheep from the sheep. I will separate the rams from the rams. I will separate the ram from the goat. I will separate the goats from everybody. I will do the separation. And we say, wait, it's the devil doing it. Not when God says, I am going to do it. How he does it doesn't mean I love it. Maybe I have to be punished. Maybe I have to be straightened out. Maybe I have to know that God has separated. What do you separate? The bad from the good? From the just, from the unjust? From the righteous, from the unrighteous? Or is he separated sheep away from sheep? That's God's judgment. And we have to be very, very careful in our mind, in our heart, not to look upon those who have left, that they are bad sheep. Or the devil caused them to move. Satan is behind the whole thing. And the word of God says, I will separate sheep from sheep. That's not a nice thing to feel, is it? Does it affect you? I know it personally has affected me. When God separates sheep, it's happened before in the past. Some have been very, very good friends. One thing I know, God said, I am the one in charge. You, sheep, or goat, or ram, stay where you're at. Don't go after them. I have them. They're mine. And I could say, okay, thank you. Now you can discipline them. He said, don't you know, you old fool? You are the one I'm disciplining. You are the one I'm teaching. You are the one I'm telling you, don't walk the way you walk. Because it's easy to find fault with people leave. Is it not? It's easy to find things that are displeasing about them to justify your emotional feelings or your heart or your mind or whatever it is. They're gone. Whew. I'm sure glad they're gone. The perpetrator has disappeared. Wait a minute. How can we say that? How can anybody say that? We have a hard time. He says, you'll know them by their fruit. What are they doing? I looked at this thing, and I used to look in the past and say, okay, I judge this guy, and I judge this guy, I judge that group, I judge this group, I judge that group. I see they're, what are they doing? Oh, you know what they're doing? Oh, thank you, God. I know what they're doing. They are gathering grapes from thorn bushes. I don't do that. And they're gathering figs from thistles. Well, I don't do that. Whew, I'm sure glad I'm with the right group. Doesn't that easy cop out? But what if he's saying it to me? What are you doing, Richard? Are you gathering grapes where there's thorns and thistles? What are you doing? What are you doing, Richard? Are you getting figs from thistles? Now, those two particular fruits are very fascinating biblically, but I'm not going to go there. And he says, look, every good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Okay, Father. I understand the plank. If it doesn't bear, it's cut down. Therefore, by their fruits, you'll know them. You know their actions. You know what they're doing. Are they hostile? Are they angry? Are they attacking? Do they find fault? Do they accuse? Do they get even? Do they retaliate? That's bad. That's bad. And then he says his very famous words. Still part of what's called judge and judge not. Right? It's all about judgment. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does the will of my Father. What on earth is the will of his Father? I know. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And all the prophets. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the will of his Father. And he's talking about judge and judge not. What is he telling us? This is the will of my Father. This is how you will look upon people. This is how you will evaluate people. This is how you will determine not attack, but take on the burden that's unjust upon you. Take on the wrong that's not yours. We say, I don't want to do that. I got to protect my family. I got to protect myself. I got to protect my wife. I got to protect everything. I got to defend. I got to fight. I got to fight. I got to fight. Yeah, the problem is, what am I fighting? The will of my Father. Do you think I'm going to win? Do you think Hall of Fellowship can win? Do you think people in the Hall of Fellowship can win? If they fight against the will of God. He's talking about what you do. Anyone says, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Hunky dory. I'm not talking about prophecy. I'm talking about the will of my Father. What am I talking about in this chapter? I'm talking about judging people. And you got a plank in your eye. And you're going in a direction that's broad. Destruction is going to come to you. And destruction does come. I never knew you. What do you mean? They've done the will of God. They've done the will of Yeshua. They preached the gospel to the world. I don't know you. And then the other group, he says, therefore whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. What is he talking about? Is he talking about something there in Matthew 18th chapter, verse 5? Or is he talking about Genesis chapter 4, verse 13? Or is he talking about somewhere in Revelation chapter 6, verse 10? What is he talking about? Judgment. Do unto others as you'd want them to do unto you. Don't judge them. If you do, I'm going to use the very same judgment against you. I know you. I know your weakness. I know your vulnerability. I know how to destroy you. This is the Son of God. This is the high priest. This is the one that brings a rod, not of bamboo stick, but of iron. And the prophets say, when he opens up his mouth and he says, what comes out of his mouth is the rod of iron. You ever been struck by a rod? Maybe by a stick. But have you ever been struck by a rod of iron from the most powerful being in existence on the in creation, before creation, the Son of God? Now when he hits, he doesn't miss. When he hits, you can't duck. Because the words come, they come. And the words come to me, and I says, oh my Father, what did I do wrong? You didn't look. You didn't take notice. You did not observe what I told you to do. And I want to hear the words of the Son of God. I'm sure each and every one of you want to hear the words of the Son of God. We are still flesh and blood. We have a tendency to put up a barrier against other fleshes. And we fight against the principalities of the air. But we say, well, no, I don't. I fight against my friend over there who just blasphemed me. What? So I attack that one. And that person has been attacked. They're going to come back and attack you back. And this attack goes back and forth, back and forth, and leads to destruction. It leads not to life. It leads to destruction. You know, Jeff has talked about the bottom line. Why don't you pay attention to the very last verse? That's the bottom line. The last verse, verse 29. Pretty powerful words. They were amazed. He taught them having authority greater than the authorities in all of Israel. The intelligentsia, the scribes who know what is written. And teach people what is written. They didn't all have a book to read. They didn't all have a scroll to read. This one. What does it mean? Authority. It's a pretty powerful word, don't you think? So we're at this point. I said, I want to talk with you. Proverbs. First chapter. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instructions. To receive words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. To receive the instruction of justice. To receive the instruction of judgment. to see the instructions of equity. In the last 2 weeks, that's what I've been begging and beseeching God like crazy for. Verse 20, when wisdom calls, she's not quiet. She's not quiet. And everybody hears it. What is wisdom? What is instructions? What is justice? What is shutting? What is equity? Verse 23. Turn at my rebuke. If you turn when wisdom corrects you, what blessing is there? Surely I will pour out something upon you. God will increase His Spirit. It's just like the first time. He'll keep it coming and keep it coming, keep it coming. That's what He will do. I'm sorry I had to say this, but it was something I had to be done because I don't know how to explain why half the group is gone and will not return. Other than judgment had been laid upon Hallel Fellowship, the group as a whole. Now we have as individuals, as a group, to say to God, open up your spirit and pour it upon me, for I have received your correction. Your chastisement. You have divided us according to your will. Because your will not being done. And I will be honest with you. It is definitely the fault of the leadership of Hallel Fellowship. We're not speaking out some time ago.